What on earth was going on? Perhaps something stuck in his tail. I asked Tarquin to lie down. He does. And then, it wasn't a twig stuck in his tail. No. Before we dive in, a warning. The content of this podcast may not be appropriate for some young listeners. This is real life, and that means that sometimes it can be a little bit graphic. So listen on at your own peril. As a veterinarian, dog behaviorist, best-selling author, and trainer, over the past decade, I've had an obsession with transforming the behavior of dogs. Understanding their brains and creating practical strategies that you can implement easily at home. I know all too well when the dream you imagined when you first got your dog is far from your daily reality. In fact, out of the blue, a few months ago, my little dog Gorse was bitten by a dog 20 times her size. And suddenly our life of stress-free walks, a calm and cuddly household, and being teammates was replaced with reactivity, anxiety, and worrying about what's around the next corner. I'm Dr. Tom, this is the Help My Dog podcast, and this is me documenting that journey of transformation, sharing my knowledge and experience with you and having a few laughs along the way. Hello HMD family, it's another hormone special. We're going to be talking female hormones, and if you didn't catch our episode on male hormones, then check it out. It'll be on our podcast channel. And I should say, guys, I'm going to do a quick shout out for leaving reviews on the podcast. I think we're at like over 200 reviews on Apple Podcasts and like well over 200 on Spotify. So whatever you're listening on, leave us a review, because that means then this information gets out to people that, you know, are totally new to us. And that could save some dogs. And if they listen to the last episode, it could save some testicles as well. So please leave us a review and share it with friends. So we're talking female hormones. And again, I'm going to do my disclaimer. I am not I'm talking behavior. I'm a vet. I'm a behaviorist. I'm a trainer. I'm talking about how hormones impact behavior. It's a really emotive topic. I get it. My approach to males and females is different, and it's different because they have different hormones and they have different considerations. And so what I'm going to do in this episode is not tell you whether you should neuter your female dog or not. That can be a conversation for you and your, you know, you, the veterinary healthcare professionals in your life to have. What I am going to talk about is if your female dog, aka bitch, is entire, that's like one of the only podcasts where we, no, I'm sure there's loads of podcasts that say bitch all the time. Anyway, there's probably podcast, we won't go down that rabbit warren. What I'm going to do is talk about if your dog is entire, then these are the considerations that you should have to really approach them, you know, in the kindest way, safeguarding them from behavior struggles based on the hormones that they are experiencing. Now, really interesting, guys, that actually female dogs are very unique as a species, okay? And the reason why they are unique as a species hormonally is based on their evolution. So the dog, the domestic dog, is obviously evolved from the wolf. And what the wolf is meant to do, and what we see wolves doing, is they live in family groups, okay? So ditch anything you think you know about pack theory, that's totally inaccurate. Wolves live in family groups, right? It's all very polite and nice, and not what you would expect. And these family groups, their main goal is to reproduce and pass on the family group's genes to that next generation. Now, what this means is that they do this unique thing. First unique thing is that often females in the same family group will come into heat or come into season at the same time, which means that they have they're mirroring the same hormonal changes. What that allows is for them all to be, I guess, experiencing the same concerns and the same goals at the same time. So their hormones are saying, defend the family group. I'm pregnant, for example. Get resources together and guard resources and hoard resources and keep resources. Why? Because again, we're pregnant, we're growing babies. And so it almost like allows them all to be aligned to the same goal. Now, this has resulted in a really interesting physiological uniqueness about the hormones of the female dog. Every time they come into season, they have this increase in a hormone that's called progesterone. And we'll talk about what progesterone does in a second. But this, and what should happen, progesterone is like the hormone of pregnancy. And so what should happen is when you're pregnant, you have elevated levels of progesterone throughout the pregnancy. And it has certain behavioral effects that we'll talk about in a second. The interesting thing with the dog is that regardless of whether they become pregnant or not, when they have a season or a heat, they have the same hormonal changes that follow as if they were pregnant. And what that means is that they have approximately 63 days of high progesterone. And so you may have heard of this thing called a false pregnancy or a pseudo pregnancy in dogs. And that's commonly referred to when, you know, dogs will have a season and then weeks later start to produce milk. Now, the interesting thing is that actually they have a false pregnancy every single time. It's just that some dogs will go on to have more overt and clear behavior changes and even produce milk. And other dogs, it'll be more subtle. But they are all experiencing this high progesterone for around 63 days after having a season. Now, why is this important? Well, progesterone tends to have a few different behavior effects. The first behavior effect that it tends to have is it tends to make individuals a little bit more pessimistic. So this might look like they're a bit more reactive, they're a bit more alert, they're a bit more worried about things in the environment. Maybe they're a little bit more easily startled. And so for 2 months after every season that your dog has, they are in a very vulnerable state from a behavior perspective. Vulnerable in the sense that they are more likely to develop behavior struggles in this time just by the fact that they're more pessimistic, in turn, maybe more reactive, more easily startled, more anxious. The second thing that we've got to be aware of is that progesterone increases their desire for resources and to keep resources. Okay, so I'll just put here resources. Now, why is this important? Well, if you have a multi-dog household and there is a, so you've got, you own more than one dog, and in this really critical period after a season, for 2 months, your dog's in this high progesterone state, and let's say there's a chew or a bone or some food or a favorite toy on the ground, guess what? They're more likely to guard that toy and they're more likely to get into conflict with other dogs. They're more likely to, stick to their guns when it comes to wanting to keep a resource. So often what you will find, especially when there are multiple bitches in the same household that have come into season at the same time, is this is a really critical time for their relationship where they might actually start to become worried about each other. They might fall out. And sometimes following a season and following maybe having a fight in that time, in the 2 months following a season, actually they've then got to go through a process of being rehabilitated together to actually be back in the same room. That's how critical this can be. Now, based on the fact that every time your dog has a season, they have this 2 months of high progesterone, what are we going to do about it? Well, I think first thing is that knowledge is power. Awareness is power when it comes to this. If every dog owner saw this video, listened to this podcast when they first got their dog, imagine how many behavior struggles we could stop from being developed, from being created, just by the fact that people have this information and know this information, right? It just needs to get out there more. Because you're probably not going to put your dog in situations in this 2 months that are going to be especially challenging for them, that where they're going to struggle. You're going to also give them, I guess, approach it with kindness. If you've got a struggle that you need to work on with your entire female dog, you're going to be aware that in the 2 months following a season, actually, you know what, we've probably got to take it easy on them. We've probably got to be kind to them. They're in a hormonal state where literally their hormones are saying to them, you are pregnant. You know, there's danger around every corner. Hoard resources. The third thing that you need to be aware of about progesterone, and those of you that have experienced a high progesterone state that are listening or watching, you'll know this really well, is that it can make you feel quite nauseated. So, you know, you think in humans about morning sickness, that, you know, feeling of being nauseated when you are pregnant. And dogs can have that to a greater or lesser extent, depending on the dog, for 2 months after a season. So don't be surprised if your dog's really engaged for food, but then actually at times in this period, they kind of go off their food. They kind of look a bit uncomfortable. They kind of look a bit like slobbery. And they're licking their lips a little bit more. That might be as a consequence of the higher progesterone that they're experiencing. And this nausea tends to be really more apparent in the first week after their season. It's almost like they've got to get used to being in this high progesterone state again. They're a little bit like lip-licky and slobbery and not really wanting their food quite as much. They change their eating habits a little bit. Now, be honest, guys, did you know this, right? Did you know that this was a thing? Because once upon a time, I didn't know this was a thing. And if I had known that this was a thing, I probably would have changed my expectations or my behavior or what I chose to do with my dogs in that time. And so if this is news to you, or if it's not, but you're aware that it'd be news to other people, share this podcast, right? Because actually, this information needs to get out there. We need to be aware that we need to be kind to our female dogs, not just while they're in season, but actually for 2 months afterwards. And that might factor into whether you're considering neutering your dog or not. If your dog's already a pessimistic, struggles with pessimism, they're already, you know, struggle with reactivity, they're anxious about the world, they're easily startled at the best times, that might factor into your decision about whether neutering is, you know, the right thing to do for them. And it might change the urgency with which you want to consider neutering. Hey guys, I just want to take a little pause to let you know how you can get involved with the official Help My Dog membership hub. If you're enjoying geeking out about the science of dog behavior, want to watch dogs practically being trained in real life, and you want to progress even further, you can join our members-only community and get targeted learning with me each and every week to help you combat your dog struggles at home, on walks, and out and about. And right now, when you jump in, you can actually watch Gorse's behavior rehabilitation from trauma to triumph in an over-the-shoulder video diary showing real-life situations. To find out more, just head over to www.helpmydog.com/hub. And final thing to say, guys, is that sometimes if your dog's if you've noticed changing your dog's behavior during a season, and their behavior hasn't returned back to normal, despite potentially being neutered, we see some dogs in the behavior clinic where they've accidentally ended up in a permanent state of post-season hormonal changes. And on reviewing their veterinary history, on, you know, going through the behavior consultation process, it might be that we trial almost like treating them as if they were stuck in that state. And sometimes the transformations can be absolutely miraculous. Within a week, you can get your old dog back. And so if you're concerned that that might be your dog, it'd probably be worth getting in touch with the Behave Vet Clinic, getting on a remote consultation with the team, and we can review it, and we can come up with a behavior plan for your dog as well. Because, you know, as veterinary professionals, behaviorists and trainers, the whole team, we probably have a bit of a unique perspective on, you know, the best approach forward. And that's why we get the results that we get. Now, on the subject of results, should we hear from some people that maybe didn't quite get the result that they hoped for in a situation? That was a very, very flimsy transition. We're going to go with it. And right, cringe stories. Let's do this. Let's do this. And I hope, guys, you got value from learning a little bit about female hormones, because it's the most requested topic, weirdly, at the moment. Everybody's like, could Tom talk about female hormones and behavior? There we go. Kept it simple, kept it practical, kept it real life. Hope you got value. So, okay, right. Let's do this. How many have we got?
Three.
Three?
Three.
Awesome. Okay. Okay, this one starts with, cringe, cringe, cringe. I like it. Picture this. It's a beautiful, warm spring morning. Birds chirping away. The sun is even out. What? And we just had a perfect start to our Growing Our World walk. Nice and calm and ready to go, we step outside our house. And Tarquin jumps in nicely behind me as we proceed down the steps to the road. The picture of calmness. I love it. We get to the street and our first growing opportunity appears in the form of a neighbour and their doodle, who we have met before. All is going excellently. Tarquin is interested, but disengages almost instantly. This sounds perfect. And then he chooses to have a wee sniff. Lovely stuff. We continued walking down the road, chatting, but focusing on our dogs, and both dogs are chilled. Suddenly, Tarquin starts walking very strangely, reminiscent of the movements my other dog did when he was about to have a seizure. Oh my word! I stopped and spoke gently to Tarquin and stroked his head. He was definitely not having a seizure. What on earth was going on? Perhaps something stuck in his tail. I asked Tarquin to lie down. He does. And then, this is the cringe bit. It wasn't a twig stuck in his tail. No. My poor boy was having the most... Why this wording? My poor boy was having the most massive erection. Right there on the pavement in front of the whole wide world. I'm not sure he was bothered, but he couldn't walk and was so bewildered. Poor thing. He kept looking at me as if to say, ah, make it go away, Mum. That is the most disturbing thing. I explained what was happening to the other lady. I was going to explain what was happening to Tarquin. I explained what was happening to the other lady. What else could I say? And she very sweetly walked on. And there we were, one poor, confused dog and me feeling a little bit useless stuck on the pavement. I had no idea what else I could do. Several people passed us by and lots of traffic and bikes. Thankfully, no dogs. That would have been so difficult. I smiled at the passers-by as though this was as though this was exactly what we were intending to do. We just had to wait it out, and then we gingerly walked back home where he could rest for a bit.
Oh, poor Tarquin. So embarrassing.
That is very embarrassing. Right. Okay. Hello, Dr. Tom and Madeline. I thought I would send you our cringe story that happened this morning. This morning! I took my German Shepherd, Sheila, for her very first appointment with a vet physio. Sheila has two bad hips plus osteoarthritis. I know who this is. I just realised who it is. Oh, hey! She has been very nervous at the vets before. Sometimes we haven't even made it inside. Other times she has needed full sedation for examinations. I'm very happy to report that thanks to Tom and the Behave Vet team, Sheila was very confident this morning. Maybe a little too confident. On arrival, I took her for a quick walk along the lane to get any necessary eliminations out of the way. She did a quick wee and we headed back to the vet and physio. Sheila waltzed inside, very happily greeting the staff, who told me to let her off to explore while I filled in the necessary paperwork. While I was busy writing away, Sheila went for a good explore. She even ventured into the next room before returning to do her shepherd thing of going from person to person in turn to be fussed. I was in total shock as she approached the vet by the door and she squatted on the doormat and peed. Sheila, not the vet. I was mortified. She has never, ever done anything like this. The lovely vet told me not to worry. The boy dogs occasionally pee on there and that it really wasn't a problem. I tried to hide my embarrassment behind the clipboard while the mat was blotted and cleaned. Oh no. Sheila had just finished her assessment when I noticed some people arrive with another dog. I quickly clipped Sheila's lead on and took her into the other room. To my absolute horror, there was a huge pile of poo on the vet bed on the floor. We were the very first clients of the day. In fact, the first clients of the week. So unless it had been there all weekend, there was only one culprit. Sheila. Panic stations, I rummaged around in my handbag and spotted a grey poop bag on a roll. However, the bag I grabbed wasn't the beginning of the roll. It was somewhere in the middle of an unrolled roll. So I pulled and pulled like a magician doing a magic trick with what seemed like hundreds of bags appearing with no end in sight. I tore a bag from the middle and picked up the poo. Phew, nobody had seen. The poop was still warm, so definitely Sheila's. This is a lot. But what to do with the full bag? My handbag sat open in front of me. Nope. Don't worry, Tom, I didn't do it. Thank goodness. As I looked back at the vet bed, the telltale leftover smudge was too obvious. Why am I reading? What has my life become? I had to fess up. I relayed this story to my friend. She said I should treat it as a milestone. That day, Sheila was confident enough to poop at the vets. Go, Sheila. I'm glad the games are working, I think. All right, so this one involves the fun police in action. Another very busy and large London park in the summertime. Off lead, Roger Beagle Dog. Has this been changed?
Roger, yeah.
Okay.
It's not a dog's name.
Okay. I know a dog called Roger.
Do you?
Yeah. Off lead, Roger Beagle Dog. And so I'm being super vigilant for picnics and kids' parties. Plenty of horror stories there. And so stuck to quieter section of the park. Roger suddenly nips off into a load of shrubbery and I see the bushes start to shake and assume he's found food in there. And so shout for him to leave it, leave it. Nothing. Try again. Nothing. So I issue a warning. So I issue a warning. Right, if you won't come out, then I'm coming in to get you. Almost immediately, a semi-naked young couple jumps out. Jumps out the shaking bush, followed by Roger looking very, very smug about the trouble he's caused. I was mortified. They thought I was shouting at them, and so was probably blushing more than them. I've always called Roger the fun police, and he excelled himself that day. I love it. Right, if you won't come out, then I'm coming to get you. That's awesome. Awesome. I love it. Great one. Really good. So, guys, I hope that's brightened your day. I hope that you've learned something about female hormones. I hope that this allows us to, you know, spread even more kindness to dogs and hopefully reduce some behaviour struggles on the way as well. That was this episode of the Help My Dog podcast. We'll see you next time. Check out the male episode if you have not already, because there's loads of insights in that one as well. Please leave us a review on whatever you listen on, because that gives context to other people to listen. And if you've got a cringe story that can involve a semi-naked couple, poop, or what is, you know, normally I'm not going to say what the first story was, but what is normally popular, a lot of the stories involve pee in some way. Then all you got to do is email cringe@helpmydog.com and you might be featured. See you next time, guys.